This is Great Shalom Presents Overcoming Learning Problems. Let me tell you what it's all about. Hey, welcome back, everybody. So I told you how this all started, that my daughter was in a terrible automobile accident with her three small sons, and the oldest one, Christian, went to be with the Lord. He didn't quite make it to his seventh birthday, but he was really making so much progress after having so many problems. And then AJ, even worse problems, and then also he was given 0% chance of living as he was scraped off of the pavement and sent to what purported to be the best ICU, pediatric ICU in the state. And he turned 5 while he was in a coma, and then the third one had glass stuck in his forehead. His femur bone was broken, and he turned 2 while he was in a cast, and bone wasn't set before they put that double cast on, nearly broke my arm, speaking hypothetically or hyperbolically. And of course, my daughter was pretty well injured too, so she couldn't lift that cast. Okay, so in all of that, and then I took some time off from teaching college and from the church that I had joined because I had been in an accident, and went to her city so I could homeschool the boys and help, and had to explain to my pastor what I was doing. And but anyway, so I told him that I had explained this to my dad. You know, I had to explain to my dad why I was taking time off of work. And he said, and I said, you know, I could work all my life and not pay for the therapy that I could give them. Can you really do that? He said. I said, yes. He said, you, write the book. Well, so the book is called Learn at Home for Great Shalom, and I recommend it even if you're not home educating your children. But it will help you consider all the things that your children need in terms of their education and not simply replicating home, replicating public school. Anyway, I wrote the book, but the Lord said to go on the radio, and then I figured out that young women are much more likely to listen to podcasts than listen to an old fuddy-duddy Christian teaching and talk channel. So, you know, that's how it all started. And there's other episodes about the situation with my grandsons. And so what am I doing? I am preaching faith for healing, yes. I'm also preaching faith for innovation in education, at least at the... And I'm also preaching faith in the Creator's good creation. In other words, healthy lifestyle. And it all goes together. And it seems to me that nobody, or almost nobody, recognizes that it all goes together or wants to hear it, that it all goes together. But that's what I'm about. So take whatever it is that's useful to you. And also welcome all comers, you know, whether you are a non-believer or a super-duper, hallelujah, all the way with Jesus person or any denomination, come and take what you can. And I have people who I invite because they have good ideas, whether they're, you know, the ADD expert in town who's a Methodist, or the world-class gastroenterologist who's asking questions about vaccinations, about immunizations, and he's Episcopalian, or, you know, the Baptist or the Pentecostal minister, whoever it is. So if you can't get over yourself and look over the fence for the good of the children, then Lord help you. So that's what I am about. I'm offering this. This is a unique offering. Been offering it for 12 years. It's unique. There are a lot of children that need this help. A lot. By my calculations, maybe half. Because if you take the definition for learning disabled and you start doing some statistics, you're going to see. We're talking about at least half of children have some sort of learning problem. So not that many are labeled LD, but anyway, we'll go into all of those statistics another time. But anyway, I'm just saying a lot of children, and every mother feels alone and surprised, I think. But there is this fundamental divide between the faith people who don't want to hear about their responsibility to eat well or to involve themselves in education. You know, the kind of people who laugh about buffeting their body. So there's a scripture that says we buffet our flesh, and they make a joke and say they're buffeting their bodies. Anyway, so all these big fat people leaving church and going to the buffet. And then on the other side, there are these people who sniff at the whole idea of a Christian broadcast, because of course all you're doing is talking about beating kids. And they're the people who have real education and yet completely lose their brains while they go and pay $250 an hour to an OT to let their kids do a sit and spin. And they couldn't possibly consider the ins and outs of the faith perspective, and they'll just depend on their college education to make the money, to spend the money and hope for the best and whistle in the dark for their child. Okay, folks, get over yourself. I say I believe in healing. I'll take it any way it comes. For those people who need a miracle healing, that's such good news. For those people who need a real healing in terms of progressive overcoming, whether it's, you know, something in the body or in the mind or the brain, it doesn't matter. So faith for overcoming life's difficulty in a progressive sense, that's a healing. The body mends itself, or the brain mends itself, like a very famous pastor when he was in college just said, had such a hard time with algebra, but he just could believe for 15 minutes and he would do it for 15 minutes. And really, I think he was restructuring his brain in those 15 minutes, but he kept doing it 15 minutes at a time until he passed algebra. And now he can fly citation tense. So at over 70 years old. So he learned how to learn even technical information, mathematical information. And I also believe in innovation and education. So if you're not the student, but you're the teacher, you can figure out how to teach better. And it's all grounded in having to have the brain working. It's also helpful to have the mind working. The mind working, have the brain working. So it all goes together. And I don't know why so few people will see it together. But I say, I believe in healing. I'll take it any way it comes. You know, you would laugh at the old lady who's laying on her couch smoking and doing nothing but that, not going to church, not reading her Bible, even disrespecting the people of faith around her. But she's laying on her couch watching Benny Hinn, hoping that he'll call her name out. Well, you know, you might add some prayer and some respect into that and try to do those things. And we sniff at, you can always see the mistake that the other guy is making. So I heard last night about a fellow that I know from an association, a club where almost everyone is an older male. There are very few women in the group. They're all very technical oriented, and I just needed to do something very different. So I studied and became credentialed. And anyway, this one guy, really smart, rich, technical, arrogant, gruff. His wife is so sweet. I just don't know how she put up with him all these years. Anyway, really ugly, and especially ugly to women. And so bright, knows more than other people. So he went out and he got a vaccine before other people. And anyway, there's some story to that. But, well, I've just heard through the grapevine of the club, he was standing helping his wife with the dishes, and he fell over dead. He fell over dead immediately. She called the ambulance that got there very, very quickly, in minutes, and he was dead. And of course, that's going to be coded as a heart attack, but he never had heart problems before. Okay, so I'm saying this because I'm telling you that everybody puts faith in something. So you might as well put faith in the fact that there is a great creator who is love, who created this world as good, even though it's broken through people's choices, and that you can have faith and connect with that good creator, redeemer, God. Okay, so I hope that encourages the people who have not had faith in God before and doesn't offend the people who know so much because they can do confessions and give offerings. And I would like to point out that Benny Hinn, and I'm going to use his name because as far as I know, during my lifetime, he has had the biggest healing ministry, miracle ministry on the planet, as far as I know. There are other great names that can compete for that, but the one that I know, and I've seen him up close and personal. I'm not saying I'm a personal friend, but I've seen him work. I have worked in the Crusades, and I have been in a room with only a few hundred people and him leading the meeting. And I know that he once sold colloidal silver. Not too many years ago, there was an extension of the book table, and he was selling colloidal silver. So I am telling you that Benny Hinn, who has reputation as possibly one of the greatest miracle ministries in the world, would also say that, yes, there's something to basic health measures, that a good lifestyle is helpful. You know, I see people coming to the altar hardly able to walk because they've eaten so much or whatever, I don't know, smoke and drink or whatever. And they're just not doing the healthy lifestyles, and they want other people to pray for them. And yes, God may heal them. You know, we are healed by his stripes. I believe that healing is in the atonement, but I think it's also a really good idea if you would have a healthy lifestyle and agree with the Lord's way of doing things. I just heard Jonathan Shuttlesworth, and again, an evangelist of some note, and he just made an example in his preaching. Now, he's preaching to asking people to get saved and so forth. He said, now, if I left here preaching in front of the camera and this afternoon started shooting up heroin, would I expect that that wouldn't hurt my organs? And he said, no. You know, you have to stay in Christ. You don't just go out and do some stupid thing. Anyway, he was applying it to whatever he was saying. But I'm just using that example as the example. Okay, so I'm saying my point here is that healing and healthy lifestyle and innovative education all go together, because we know that God grants wisdom to those who ask, James 1. Now, I came to this understanding, this grounded understanding that healthy lifestyle and faith go together from my personal history, because I was in a high demand religious group, probably a cult, I'm almost certain you would think is a cult. And we believed in Romans 8, I still believe in Romans 8. Anyway, we talked about the manifestation of the sons of God, that the whole creation, this is 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Anyway, the point is that the manifested sons will come. The people who believed in Jesus at the end of the eschaton and at the end of the age and will become like Jesus. And then all creation will be set free to function the way it was meant to function. So this is full salvation. And really, this is good orthodox doctrine. I don't mean it's a particular denomination, but anybody who really understands the Bible and Bible theology will say that's good Bible theology. It's just that nobody preaches this, but this cult did. Anyway, preached at a lot. And so there I was in algebra with a great big binder of stuff from our deliverance form. And I remember it said an apple a day keeps the doctor away, an onion a day keeps the doctor away. And then it taught all about the healing properties of onions, and it's good for colds and respiratory and blah, blah, blah. And then you turn the page and then it's all about greens. And so I went to the school cafeteria and I ordered a plate lunch with those spinach. And I started eating whole wheat bread and spinach because that was the best I knew. But the whole point was that I was getting it from my spiritual source. But I'm going to say for you who might want to be encouraged that healthy lifestyle and faith and innovation goes together, I would point to you to Genesis, where God created the world and said, it is good. It is very good. Okay? And then I would point to you to the end of the story in Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the last chapter, chapter 22, starting in verse 1, and he showed me, so this is the angel showing John the Revelator, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Wow, I'm just blown away just reading that. I feel the anointing. Hallelujah! God is awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We bow before you. Verse 2, and in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. Hallelujah. So the picture that shows the end, the telos, the end, the goal of all of this is celebration and life. Healing from the leaves and the fruit and abundant harvest of this fruit. That's the picture. It comes from water clear as crystal that flows from the throne. This is the kind of authority that should be in the world, is the authority that gives and provides. So that's the picture of Christian faith that I know about and I want to share. And I will tell you also that all of the people who really go all out for God seem to intuitively do this. If you think about the holiness people back when I met them in the 70s, you know, early 70s, late 60s, they were people who dressed normal, looked normal, you know, and cooked normal food instead of, you know, they weren't the people who went out to the market and bought shake and bake. We're talking the late 60s. They would, I remember, she was a Baptist. She wasn't a holiness, but she was a Baptist. A friend of my mother, they were a really religious family, and she roasted coffee and ground it. She baked bread, all of this on Saturday so they could have a family Sunday dinner. Oh, and I was in her kitchen, and we had that bread that came out of the oven with butter. I don't know, maybe she even churned the butter. And this is Houston, 1969 or 68. So they kept the culture of a healthy lifestyle. And go to Judaism and find the Hasids, and you'll find there'll be more traditional healthy lifestyle. Go to Zion, the Zionists in Israel, and you're going to find gardens. And so I'm talking about healthy lifestyle going along with faith. Okay, so So that's my point, is that the health and the education innovation and the faith go together. God does here. Now, I'm trying to convince you of this in different ways. But if you can't go with all three of those points, take what you can. So this is really a healing ministry. You may not realize it because I don't come out and act like Oral Roberts or R.W. Schombach or Benny Hinn or Michael Kolenda or Reinhard Bonnke. Oh, I would love to do that. But that's not what I was told to do. At least that's not what I was given to do. So this is more of a teaching ministry. I was built like a teacher. I came from a family that, you know, expected me to be a teacher. And when I have to tent make, I'm a teacher one way or another. So, but never a public school teacher. So don't come and inform me that I'm a public school teacher. Although bless you if you are. Do what you're called and formed to do. But I'm called and formed to be a preacher. And this is my assignment. Now, notice that there is no one in the planet, in the history of the planet, who has announced that they are have a healing ministry for kids. Because that would be very dangerous legally. I woke up one morning after having done this for years and realized, I have a healing ministry for kids. Well, I have laid my hand on kids. Actually, the time that I did that, actually, I was teaching a seminar for a church on how to have a better Sunday school department, and people afterwards brought their kids to me to bless and pray for. Well, I'd be happy to do that, but I am more about teaching parents and educators to have faith for their children. Teachers especially need to have faith. We don't need to have word curses spoken over our kids. We need educators to have faith so they can reach out and find the right innovation for that child. And so they can speak, so they can walk along with the child who's having difficulties. You just don't have any idea how difficult it is to be really bright, to be able to pick up on all of the things. So you're bright and you can't do well in school. And so everybody says, you're talking. You're just not paying attention. You're just not trying. Because sometimes you make A's and sometimes you make F's when actually you're trying harder than anybody else in the room. Or maybe you figured out that it's more comfortable to pretend to be stupid. I know people have done that too. The boys often will do that because they may be in a culture that values something besides the academics. But anyway, you're really bright and you know things aren't going well. That, and people pile onto you because they think you're not being good and trying. And so it becomes very difficult. By the time you're 10, it's very difficult to have faith for overcoming. But we all need to develop that. Yeah, Peter J. Daniels was an illiterate bricklayer at 28 and had to learn. But he learned faith. He had never heard of faith, so he didn't have a resistance to it, I think. And he went to a Billy Graham crusade and changed his life around and became a salesman. He had to give the order for him to the customer. But he kept on and he kept on. That became his personality, is overcoming through faith, and became one of the richest men and one of the biggest philanthropists ever. So such an inspiration in the business realm. And I want to have this imprinted on teachers. And often teachers wouldn't go to the business conferences where Peter J. Daniels is invited to speak, because teachers aren't trying to make money. They're trying to make a difference. But gosh, this is the difference you need to make in a child's life. A child who is discouraged, you need to fill him with, or her, with faith. So that's what I'm trying to do. Faith for innovation for teachers. Faith for healthy lifestyle for moms, because moms, by the way, that's your job. And faith for healing for the student. Healings and miracles both. So if you need the bones of your face to come together, you need a miracle. If you have had your miracle and now you have a brain injury and you're walking around, you may need faith for an ongoing healing as you work in school, compete in school, get into a profession, pass the hurdles of whatever it is toward the success. You may need an ongoing healing. Hallelujah, but it's all available. Maybe you have reached the end of your life and you have had good success as whatever, an entrepreneur, artist, minister, but you look back and you see that you've been eating pop and pizzas and cheap hot dogs, and you're going to need a lifestyle change or you're not going to have a long road ahead of you. It can all happen. We've got faith for all of it, and we'll share some good ideas, and we're not doing away with science. On the contrary, we want to embrace science because science is the viewpoint of a good creator. When it says back in Genesis 1, there were lights in the sky, lamps in the sky, this shows a fundamental scientific perspective. And Jews and Protestants have always, and really Roman Catholics too, to some extent, have been pro-science, and that's why our cultures have succeeded well. We're not anti-scientific. Although we do have a healthy skepticism about the medical industry. So we want to be discerning what's true and what's a lie. We do want wisdom, and God will give you wisdom if you ask and upbraids not. Hallelujah. God will give you wisdom. So I always say, if you are unsure about what's being taught in the spiritual realm, why don't you just ask God? If God says that he will give you wisdom, I mean, I ask for the gift of discernment, but if you just need, and I encourage you to do that, but I also say you should ask for wisdom, and just for those of you for whom it will help, we'll read it. James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, means that he's not going to chide you or find fault with you for asking. So he will give to all men liberally, meaning generously, and it shall be given him. If you lack wisdom, ask God and he will give it to you generously. That's what it says. Same book says, if there are any sick among you, let them call the elders and let them pray, and sins will be forgiven and they'll be raised to health. Hallelujah. So if you're not sure, then ask God. So Romans 10, I'm going to suggest to you, secular educator who believes in the whole child, how about suggesting that maybe there is something to spiritual reality? And you, who believes in spiritual reality, how about having some discernment about what's good and what's bad? Who is the fountain of all of life? Who is the fountain of all of love? Who is true light and not snookering? We're talking about the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to represent him, who gave himself for us. So how do you align yourself? How do you receive all of these blessings? Romans 10 and 9. Well, let's start with 8. The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith is what we preach. That's what I'm preaching, guys, faith. Okay, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, this is not a grammar lesson. This is is Old English. Thou shalt be saved is very strong. You absolutely will. Thou shalt be saved. What do you have to do? You have to confess that Jesus is Lord. Okay, so make him Lord of your life and then believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. A lot of people don't have problems with that. It's, you know, there's a good argument for it. A lot of people went to martyrdom rather than deny that they saw Jesus raised from the dead. So, certainly made a big difference. So, Jesus raised from the dead. And if you believe that, you are aligned with him and you can receive his blessings. And there are a lot of blessings. If you can raise somebody from the dead, you can certainly heal somebody. You could certainly help them over their dyslexia. I don't know that dyslexia is healed, but you could certainly learn to read even though you have dyslexia. Because there are some benefits to dyslexia, have other benefits. Or ADD, you could be healed from ADD or from the effects of ADD, let's say it that way. Or autism or whatever. Whatever method God uses is okay with me. As long as we get there. As long as we have children who are living out, happily living out their full destiny. That's full human potential. Amen. Woo! Okay. Oh, but how do we do this? Let's go ahead and do this. So I'm just going to pray and you just follow along with me to be sure that you're aligned with all of this blessing. God in heaven, I come to you based on this word. I would like to please remind you, King of the universe, of these words. You say that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I confess Jesus is Lord, and I make him Lord of my life, and if I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead, I confess that you raised Jesus from the dead. Therefore, I receive your blessing of being saved, of rescued from the brokenness of this world. I receive salvation, forgiveness of my sins, healing for my body, blessing of prosperity, of walking in a good world. Right relationships with you and with all those who have right relationship with you. I receive it. I take it. It's a gift and I'm receiving it. And I'm thanking you for it in the mighty name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, which is Jesus Messiah in Hebrew if you don't know. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. So it's celebration time. You have just legally aligned yourself with the creator of the universe. Legally aligned yourself with the resurrected Jesus, Lord of all. And so there is a lot of blessings, and you can study for the rest of your life to find out all the blessings in that. But your children are included in your covenant. So that's a legal agreement. That's a covenant. It's more important than more strongly binding than a contract. So study and learn and stay aligned with that. Okay? You're saved. And your children can be blessed. Just take those. Just download it. It's like you signed up adoption papers in a rich family and now there's a bank account for you. You have to put some withdrawal slips and get the money. Okay? So I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about healing. But it goes along with healthy lifestyle. And there's a certain amount of success that's just inbuilt in that, and hallelujah. So follow your calling. All right. So may you be blessed, you and your offspring. May you be increased, spirit, soul, and body. That's what we're here for. That's what we've been saying. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to get into your hands my book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Yes, it was written for homeschooling parents, but really it is written for all parents because all parents are responsible for their children's education. And that doesn't mean just reading, writing, and arithmetic. which is what our public schools were originally intended to teach. But we are responsible for teaching our whole child. And this book will help you address all of the needs of your children. It will help you make decisions about special needs. It will help you make decisions about which curriculum. It's an overall soup to nuts book. Learn at home for great shalom. Come to the website www.greatshalom.org. GreatShalom.org. Get this book. I want to get into your hands my book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Yes, it was written for homeschooling parents, but really it is written for all parents because all parents are responsible for their children's education. And that doesn't mean just reading, writing, and arithmetic, which is what our public schools were originally intended to teach, but we are responsible for teaching our whole child. And this book will help you address all of the needs of your children. It will help you make decisions about special needs. It will help you make decisions about which curriculum. It's an overall soup to nuts book. Learn at home for great shalom. Come to the website www.greatshalom.org. GreatShalom.org. Get this book.
God wants you healed. That's right. Forget about why God may not want you healed. He does want you healed, well and healthy. And in Sharon Sarles' new book, God Wants You Healed, she shows you this from a biblical perspective. This new book is available now and can be obtained in either a downloadable format or in hard copy at www.greatshalom.org. That's www.greatshalom.org. And remember, God wants you healed.
I'd like to invite you to get my series on Jewish success secrets. Wouldn't you like to know the secrets that Jews teach their children so that their children will be prosperous, so that their families will be blessed? Well, you know, I found them out. And I have preached them on this show, and I have recorded them onto CDs. There are 8 messages, and I would like to get this into your hands. Send me $50, and I'll send those CDs in a case to you. You can write me at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. That's P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. That's what shalom means, is success in every area of life. Get them today.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org or write to the Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. God says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there. God hears and answers prayer.